As we turn now in our Bibles to Luke chapter 18, and we'll be hearing Luke chapter 18. We'll be reading verses 18 through 43. Luke 18, verses 18 through 43, as we're continuing in Luke's Gospel. And so let's hear now the Word of God. We'll start in Luke 18, verse 18. These are God's words. A ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack, sell all that you possess and distribute it to the poor, and you shall have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely rich. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard it is for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." They who heard it said, "Then who can be saved?" But he said, "The things that are impossible with people are possible with God." Peter said, "Behold, we have left our homes, our own homes, and followed you." And he said to them, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come eternal life." Then he took the 12 aside and said to them, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things which are written through the prophets about the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and will be mocked and mistreated and spit upon. And after they have scourged him, they will kill him. And the third day he will rise again." But the disciples understood none of these things, and the meaning of this statement was hidden from them, and they did not comprehend the things that were said. As Jesus was approaching Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the road begging. Now hearing a crowd going by, he began to inquire what this was. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And he called out, saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stopped and commanded that he be brought to him. And when he came near, he questioned him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to regain my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following him, glorifying God. And when all the people saw it, they gave praise to God. Those are God's words. Well, the passage begins, you go back to verse 18, the passage begins with the account of the rich young ruler in which the man is pushed by Christ to show if he really loves Christ himself more than all else. But he has found himself to be falling short of that because he loves his riches more than Christ. And then through verse 30, the disciples asked him, if this kind of a man cannot be saved, then who can be? And it wasn't just the 12 disciples. There was a group of people there, more than the 12, and they were asking him that question. If he can't be saved, then who can be saved? And Jesus responds that those who are saved not by their own works, like the rich man who had good works. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, all those things he kept. One is not saved by their own works, but by God alone. And those who follow Jesus, not grasping onto this life, receive eternal life and eternal blessings forever. And so we are called here to cling to Christ. And from this Jesus foretells, he goes on, and he foretells his sufferings and death. He's speaking from the prophets and those promises that concerned him, like Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. That they will come about. They're going to come about soon. That he will die. He'll suffer and die and then rise from the dead. That's the gospel. And he reminds the disciples of this, but they don't understand these things at the time. They'll understand it later when he rises from the dead. But they didn't understand them then. They were hidden from them. Who hid them from them? It was God's providence. And then Jesus, we see, heals the blind man. As he believed, he showed faith in Christ as a sign that the kingdom had come. Remember, if you go back to the prophets again, that the Christ, the Messiah who was to come, would restore the sight of the blind. And here he does it. And so, beloved, here we're called to trust in the Lord Jesus as he is the fulfillment of all those prophecies, the promises, to leave all for him. Doesn't mean you have to sell all your belongings and go after him. But all things must come under him. He is of first importance. He is to be preeminent in your life. To leave all for him and trust in him and nothing more than him. Beloved, Christ suffered, died for your sins. He rose from the dead to secure your justification. And we are called here to be like the blind man who cried out, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Children, your calling is to say that, to pray that. "Son of David, have mercy on me." Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful in Christ Jesus, your Son, that you bless us so richly. You grant us happiness in your Son so richly that we really do not comprehend it. And we're thankful that you give us everything in the heavenly places in Christ. And as we'll see, you grant us a greater possession, an eternal inheritance. And really, Father, we're thankful, just as you teach us in 1 Peter, that great inheritance, one of the prized possessions we will receive is you yourself. And there's nothing else that we need. Father, we pray that we would be satisfied in you alone. Of all the things in this world, and there are many, and there are many to distract us and cause us to cling to it because we're tempted to. Because of the riches of this world, the great pleasures of this world. And yet, Father, we pray that we would cling to nothing more than your Son, who is our Lord. Father, we're thankful that you point out to us once again the promises fulfilled, that here we see the blind receiving sight because the Messiah has come. And all those promises coming about, even the promise that Jesus retells and re-says here of his suffering and death and resurrection that will happen in this point in Luke, just in a few weeks or so. From this point in Luke. But Father, he already has suffered. Your Son already has died for our sins. He already has rose from the dead. And that should give us a greater faith than any who have come before us at that time. Even your disciples. And yet, Father, we acknowledge and we repent of our sin that we have not that faith. That we struggle in our faith. We doubt a lot. And we doubt, and all the time we sin because of our doubts. We don't see you as you truly are, even as the Father of the Son who died for our sins. The Father who loved us and so sent his Son. And also quenching the Spirit who is within us. Father, forgive us of our sins. We have committed many. We've broken all your commandments. We've seen a few of them, as we are to love our neighbor as ourself. Here with the rich young ruler, he said to keep kept those, and yet, Father, we fail all the time, and he fell all the time. He sinned in those things as well. Father, we praise you that you're a God who forgives us of our sin, that you cleanse us as far as the east is from the west of our sin in Christ your Son. We're thankful for the sermon passage this morning that teaches us that again and the need that we have of a Savior, of a Mediator who perfects our lives and who reconciles us to you, our God. Father, we pray that you would heal those who are struggling in their bodies, just as the blind man in this passage you healed. We pray that you would heal those who are struggling in their bones and their muscles that are aching. Father, we pray that you would, if there are anybody who, here who has cancer or family members, that you would heal them and you would strengthen them. Strengthen all of us to worship you today. It takes a lot of energy to rest purely in you and put off the things of this world. Father, help us. We cannot do it apart from you. Father, we pray for our government, that you would grant a submission of us to our governing authorities as we submit to you as Christ our King. And Father, we ask that you would be with them, those who rule over us, even going down to the church and elders and deacons, and then those in our homes, husbands and parents. Father, we ask that you would grant to all these authorities, kings and rulers, and husbands and parents and elders. Father, we ask that you would grant them your salvation and grant them to rule according to your word, and that they would make just laws and they would do what is necessary for our good. Father, give us peaceable lives to worship you freely. And if that is not your will, let us suffer well as we continue worshiping in accordance with your word. For you are King over all earthly kings and all rulers. And we submit to you, Father. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.